Welcome to the Journey Church podcast, where as a church, we believe that Jesus should be accessible to anyone. So if you're at home, work, or somewhere in between, you can have access to the weekend worship experience. We'd love for you to stay connected with us by visiting us at journeyorl.com or any social media platform using @journeyorl. Thanks for being with us, and we really hope you enjoy this message.
How many people are ready to get into the message today, the Word of God? Come on, I'm excited to preach it. All right, well, if next Sunday is Easter Sunday, then that makes today. Come on, we got some Christians in the church today. I didn't know. Yeah, if you're new to church, if you've never been in church before, the Sunday before Easter is recognized in the Christian tradition as Palm Sunday. And if you want to know why or how Palm Sunday got its name, that's where I'm going to be preaching from today. So you can join me by opening your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 21. If you don't own a Bible, that's okay. We're ready for you. We got Bible verses that are going to magically appear underneath me, just like that. We'll see the synchronization on that. And you can follow along with us and you'll know where we get that name. And you'll also get to kind of be introduced to what I believe God has for you today. Matthew 21:1, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Verse 2, go into the village over there, he said, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. And at this point in Jesus' ministry, the disciples had already seen some really cool things. They had already seen him raise the dead. They had already seen him open the eyes of the blind. They had already seen him open the ears of the deaf. They had already seen him get the paralytic to stand up and walk. And a part of me wonders if in the midst of all of these, let's call them quote-unquote major miracles, they missed the quote-unquote minor ones. Like this, for example, like the fact that Jesus was able to call his shot the way he just did, to say that in another city, miles away, there's going to be a donkey. It's going to be next to this donkey. It's going to be tied up at this address. You're going to meet him as soon as you enter to know the history of the donkey, that donkey has never been ridden before. We'll find that in Mark's account. That blows my mind. Listen, one of the greatest miracles, like I wonder if the disciples ever asked themselves while he was telling him this, how does he know? How does he know? And one of the most underappreciated miracles of God is the fact that he knows. That every struggle you're going through, listen to me, he knows. That the tears you shed last night, he knows. That the problem that you're wrestling with in life and you're wondering how it's going to turn out, he knows. You ought to draw comfort from the fact that although life might feel like a mystery, it has been orchestrated. It has been set up for your good and his glory. And I promise you, no matter how anxious or depressed you get, God knows. And he's got a good ending for you. If you believe God, say amen. God knows. Tell your neighbor, God knows. God knows. Matthew 21:3, and if anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and then take them. That is so gangster. Don't try that at the gas station. You're hungry, you grab 7 bags of chips. Lady behind the counter be like, sir, you have to pay for that. Be like, the Lord needs them. Walk away with your chips. Don't do it. I don't believe Jesus is teaching us to steal, but I do believe that the underlying message is that sometimes following Jesus requires audacity. Sometimes you gotta go to the ones who are tied up in the enemy's camp and say, I know that he's been with you for a while. Sometimes you got to get to the gates of hell and go, listen, my brother, my sister, my uncle, my aunt, my son, I'm getting ready to untie them and take them. And when the enemy tries to stop you and says, well, listen, they belong to me. They go, well, they belonged to you, but the Lord needs them. The Lord needs my cousin. The Lord needs my daughter. The Lord needs my children. So you've had them up until now, but the Lord calls and he's got a plan for their life. I'm taking them back because they don't belong to you. The Lord needs them. Verse 4-5, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. This is to fulfill the prophecy prophesied by the prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9. So if you had a Bible, you could go there and see him call his shot. This is also, listen, a foreshadow for us, the church, living in this day and age, post-resurrection, where Jesus will once again have a triumphant entry, but this time he won't be riding on a colt, he'll be riding on a cloud. And we'll be celebrating with him. Verse 6. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt. He sat on it. Verse 8. A very large crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. In the book of John, his account is that the branches that they laid down on the road were palm branches. This is where we get Palm Sunday from. The palm branches were laid down like a red carpet for the King of Kings to walk through. And now look at verse 9. Jesus was in the center of the procession. Y'all, so I need y'all to imagine this is like the Macy's Day Parade, but like no inflatable SpongeBob. It's Jesus on the donkey, and people are going wild alongside him while he's paraded into the city. And the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven." Verse 10, and when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up and asked, "Who is this?" We've been in a series called Foundations Built Different all year long, where we've been going back to the Word of God. We say, hey, we're going to learn how to study our Bible, and we're also going to learn some of the foundational principles, some of the foundational doctrines, some of the foundational spiritual disciplines that every Christian should know or have in their life if they're choosing to follow Christ. And like last week, we talked about the Sabbath, which is a foundational thing in Christianity. Here's another one that I want to speak about today. I want to speak to you today on this foundational spiritual discipline of evangelism. Now, evangelism, if that term is unfamiliar to you or if it rubs you the wrong way, all it really means is to tell people who Jesus is. It is to answer the question, who is this? That's what evangelism is. And as I share that, I know that there are countless people in the room today who would tell me, well, Pastor JG, I don't really need to hear that message. I wish I had picked a different Sunday to come here because I don't need to tell people about Jesus. I think I need Jesus. I got issues in my life. I got things that I'm going through. There are pain points in me, and I don't think that telling people about Jesus is going to solve this pain. So I don't know. I think I'm about to check out from this message. But I want to encourage you today that this might be the solution to your pain. Because I remember going to the doctor a couple years ago, I was just super exhausted. I was super tired, and I went to him and I said, hey, what's wrong with me? What do I have? Do I have strep? Do I have pneumonia? Do I have long COVID? Why am I exhausted? Why am I tired? And the doctor did some blood tests, and you know what they found? My vitamin D levels were low. And she told me, and so she prescribed me vitamin D. You know what it is to be prescribed a vitamin? It was gigantic, okay? It was like 1,000 milligrams or whatever it is, 10,000 milligrams. I don't remember what it was. But I remember taking it, and in a couple of days, the pain and the exhaustion went away. And it taught me a lesson, church, that sometimes the pain in your life is not caused by what you have. Sometimes it's caused by what you lack. Some of y'all came to church today exhausted, burnt out, tired, in pain, and you're going to God, what do I have? What's wrong with me? And I think this is God's time to tell you and answer your question. It's not what you have. It's what you don't have. And what you don't have and what you lack, and the reason why you're struggling is, listen, because you lack a mission. You lack a greater purpose in life. And this is the mission, and this is the purpose. Everybody's in this room. I don't care what your gift, talent, or ability is. We can all surmise it to this grand one, is to live a life that is so blessed, to live a life that is so full of joy, to live a life that has so much peace that people would look at you and ask the question, who is this? And that your answer would be, me, I'm no one. It's who I carry. It's who I carry. That's why I'm so blessed. That's why I got so much joy. That's why I got so much peace. Not because of me, but because of who I carry. And as you hear that, you go, well, I don't know. I just don't think God could use me in that way because I'm not good with a microphone, Pastor J.D. I'm not good with public speaking. And, or I'm not. going to build orphanages in other countries. Or maybe you think that evangelism is grabbing a picket sign, heading to D.C. and marching for the latest cultural war. And you go, well, that's not about me. None of those things are the heart of evangelism. Or you might think, I might not have the right gifts, talents, abilities, or skills. God can't use someone like me. And if that's you today, let me encourage you once again to take a lesson from this old little donkey. This donkey that did not have much skill, that did not have much experience, that did not have much clout, that did not have much of a platform, that did not have a lot of money. He was good at one thing, carrying things. This little donkey that didn't have much, listen, yet was hand-selected to be used by God to bring Jesus into a city. Why? Because it ain't just no regular donkey. This is the title of my message today. He's a different donkey. Hey, tap your neighbor, tell him I'm different. Come on, tell him I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. He's a different donkey. Here's my first point if you're taking notes. He ain't just a donkey, he's a donkey with a destiny. It's a donkey with a destiny. This donkey placed before time began in this specific city at this specific time, my mind boggles to think about all of the minutiae, the little things, the minor things that had to happen in order for this interaction between the disciples and the donkey to take place, according to Jesus, as soon as they entered the city. Do you know what that means? That means that the moment that they entered into the city, the donkey was there. Do you know how many factors had to come into play for that to happen miles away in another city? Had the disciples stopped to tie their shoe or their sandal? Had the owner decided to take his donkey for a walk? Had there been traffic on I-4? The meetup would have missed. It wouldn't have happened. Yet all these things aligned, in fact, too many things aligned for me to think that this donkey was just tied there. No, if all of those factors are aligning, then this tells me that this donkey was not just tied there, he was placed there. Ooh, why is that encouraging? Because there are places in your life that you think you are tied to. And I came to tell you today, you are not tied to them, you have been placed in them. Oh, I need to make it more applicable. Okay, I will. You think you are tied to that school that you got into because it was the only school that accepted you. Shout out Valencia Community College. Come on, they can't turn you down. No applications necessary. You got money? Take a class. I'm only here because, hey, Liz graduated, Pastor Liz graduated from Valencia, so shout out Valencia. Let's go. Yeah. I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying, you think you're there because you couldn't get into anywhere else. What you needed to know was you haven't been tied there, you've been placed there. Because there are people in your vicinity. There are people you need to meet. There are relationships that are waiting for you to make. There are teachers you need to talk to. There are clubs that are waiting to get started. God knew and he put you there in that time. There are neighborhoods that we think we've been tied to because of our income. But I would live anywhere else, trust me. But this apartment complex is all I got right now. You think you've been tied there because of your income. I came to tell you today, you're not tied to that apartment complex. You've been placed in that apartment complex. Because there are neighbors that God is waiting for you to interact with. There are spouses that we feel like we are tied to. Well, God, I'm with her because she said yes. And didn't nobody else say yes? If somebody else had said yes, I'd be with somebody else, but nobody said yes. It's been 10 years, 12 years, 13 years, and you feel tied down. You haven't been tied to that marriage. You've been placed in it. Because God has a destiny for you in that. We got some families that we've been born into. We're like, Lord, if I could change my last name, I would. It's expensive. I tried. It doesn't work that way. You're not tied to that dad. You're not tied to that mom. You're not tied to that brother. You don't understand yet. You've been placed there. They've been placed there. It's all a part of the plan that God had to pull out the best in your life and give the best to this world. And it is a work of art, his plan. That's why he calls it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us. When? It's not your location, it's your destiny. It's your destiny. It's where God has you. And why is it so important to understand that? Because when you understand that you've been placed and not tied, this is a freeing moment. Chains are going to fall off you right now. When you understand that you've been placed and not tied, you can stop waiting for your moment and start making the most of the moment. What am I trying to say? God, if you give me a platform, if you give me a million viewers, if you give me a pulpit like JJ has, if you give me, then I could do something great. God says, oh, you want a platform? Look at your feet. Because that is not just ground you are standing on. That is a stage that I've prepared for you. That is a place and a time that I've prepared for you to make a difference. This is the audience that I've given you. Lord, people need to notice me. If people would just notice me, God's like, people notice you. Let's flip it. How about instead of people noticing you, how about you start to notice the people around you? Because I have placed people around you just like I've placed you around people so that they can experience your goodness, experience your love, so that they can experience my power and peace through you. I want to read that verse again, Ephesians 2:10. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so that we can do the what? Why are you always waiting for big things? Making a difference isn't about doing the big things. It's about doing the good things. The good things, and there are so many good things around you. I remember when we first bought our house in Winter Park, it was not easy. I didn't want to move. We were living in South Chase at the time, and it was much more affordable down there. And Pastor Liz was like, no, if we're going to plant a church in Winter Park, we got to be in Winter Park. I was like, babe, Winter Park's expensive. She's like, no, if God called us, he's going to find a way. And so we found a neighborhood. It was the only neighborhood we could afford. And it was Winter Park on the address. It was Winter Park on the license. But it literally is called unincorporated Winter Park. Anybody live in unincorporated Winter Park? Yeah, okay, you and me, and you, I know exactly how much money you make. Unincorporated Winter Park. It's not real Winter Park. The librarian reminded me of that when I went to apply for a library card at the Orange County Library, the nice one down here. I was like, hey, license, he said, you gotta be living in Orange County. I was like, Winter Park. I got my license, said Winter Park. They said, oh no, that's not real Winter Park. I said, what? She said, yeah, you Seminole. She looked at me like, you know, Seminole. If you know, you know. You Seminole County, boo. You can't, no, this ain't your library. We got the smaller one. I never felt more segregation in my life. She said, you got to go down to that library. You don't belong here. I said, man. So the unincorporated Winter Park. And I thought, man, I'm tied to this place. This is where I'm at, you know. But it was close to where we were starting the church. And I thought, oh, that's good. And then we had this neighbor. And, you know, you can't pick your neighbors. And I remember this neighbor, man. His name was John. And he's married to a woman named Barbara. And John came up to me the day I moved in. John came up to me and greeted me. And his greeting, the first thing John said to me, the first words out of John's mouth to me, a man he has never met before in his entire life, was, do you believe in time travel? I was like, well, we talk about how Jesus was able to pay for our sins, past, present, and future, then yes, I believe. I didn't say that. I was lost. I said, what? The second question he asked me is, and who do you think built the pyramids in Egypt? I'm like, but I wasn't there. I don't know. My name's JJ. That's Justice. That's Liz and Zane. And that's Blue. And that's Welcome to the Neighborhood. And John was very weird. I just had to tell you that story so you could know everything you need to know about him. It was right in that story, very off, a recluse. He didn't really spend time with the neighbors. He had a big old dog named Emma, which was like a over 100-pound German shepherd who would terrorize my children. We had swings, and the back of the swings would face his side of the yard, and we would never know when Emma would come out. So he'd open the gate, and the kids would be, yeah! And then right on the back swing, Emma would just trying to hop over there, trying to eat my kids, and man! And just, you know, it was whatever. But every time that we connected with them, we tried to be nice. Every time we could do something for them, we did it. If the leaves were piling up, we would help rake the leaves. If they needed to get the mail, we'd help bring the mail. If the trash can was out, we'd rope out the trash can. Every time we saw them, we said good morning. We said hi. We said good night. We asked questions about their grandson, Hunter. We tried to be as relational as possible. Fast forward a couple years later, it's been 3 years now since we've been living there. Barbara, his wife, gets sick with cancer. She's in the hospital. Fast forward a couple months later, Barbara passes away. John comes to our house, knocks on the door and says, hey, I don't know if you heard, Barbara passed away. Hey man, yeah, we did, we're so sorry. He goes, do you think your wife could speak at her funeral? We never had dinner with this couple. We never went out to eat. We never had a conversation that lasted longer than 15 minutes. But for 3 years, we raked leaves, we helped clean up, we said good morning. He told me, we don't have a lot of friends. Our kids abandon us. Your wife is the only person I trust to say good things about my wife at her funeral. So Liz, super honored, did it. And I thought that was awesome. A couple months later, a hurricane hits Orlando, one of the many ones that hit. And it was a serve Saturday for us here at Journey Church, which if you're not familiar, every first Saturday of the month, we do outreach in the community. So I got some people from the church and we went to John's house. So he's a widower now and I saw that his leaves were really piling up. So we went over there to rake the leaves. Homeboy had other plans. We show up ready to rake the leaves. He comes out with a pressure washer. He goes, yeah, rake the leaves. Then when you're done with that, pressure wash my driveway with chemicals that I was not prepared to inhale. He goes, and then when you're done with that, he pulls out a lawn blower and a ladder. He goes, my roof has got a lot of leaves on the roof. I need you to blow the leaves off. This was supposed to be like a 2-hour outreach. This turned into an all-day outreach. So we rake the leaves, put them away in the bags. We pressure wash the driveway. We climb the roof. I didn't have no insurance. I was praying for my volunteers. We got the leaves off the roof. And then at the end of the day, we were so exhausted. I just said, no, forget this. We're done. I said, we did so much for him. I'm going to ask him if he wants to accept Jesus. Because the least he could do. The least he could do after all we did was pray, is pray a prayer. And maybe if he don't even believe it, maybe he'll feel guilty enough. Maybe he'll feel so bad. He made these young people work all over his house that he'll say yes. So I went up to him. I said, hey, John. It was all done. I said, just so you know, we didn't do this because we like yard work. So instead, I said, we do this because we love Jesus and Jesus loves you. And he wanted us to tell you how much he loves you. And he wanted us to show you how much he loves you by cleaning up your yard and pressure washing your driveway and blowing the leaves off of your roof. That's how much he loves you, John. I said, so John, would you like to start a relationship with Jesus Christ today, accepting him as the Lord and Savior of your life? He looked at me, he went, sure. I was like, awesome. Put my hand on John's shoulder, I was like, repeat after me. And I did the sinner's prayer, and he repeated it after me. It was the most energyless, lifeless prayer I've ever heard in my entire life. At the end, I say, amen. I say, amen. Welcome to the family, John. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I hope. I'm looking at everybody else. I'm like, hey, guys, isn't that cool? My neighbor accepted Jesus. I hope, I think. I don't even know. I'm thinking, my name. Fast forward a couple of weeks, John sends me a text, and it was an excerpt from one of the sermons that I had preached that he wasn't there in person. He started watching online. Hold your applause. Fast forward 3 months after that, John passes away in the middle of the night. Ambulance pulls into our cul-de-sac. We hear the alarms. We start looking out the window. Our neighbor, who's also a doctor, runs in. They got John on a gurney. They pull him in. Everybody goes to sleep. We wake up in the morning. What happened? John passed away. But the last thing I heard him say was, dear Jesus. And 70 plus years of life, God was able to flip in 7 seconds. Listen, not because I did a big thing, because a couple of people from church got together and we did a good thing. Hear me, you want to make a difference? You don't need to be charismatic. You just need to be kind. Just be good. Just help those around you where you are. Consider every room that you walk into to be a stage, an auditorium, a platform. I know you belong to Journey Church, but can we launch some campuses? Can we launch some campus in the McDonald's that you work out? Can we launch some campus on your social media accounts? Can we launch some campuses at the business that you work at the corporation that you serve, at the college that you go to? And how about you be the campus pastor and you lead everyone that you can and everybody that you bump into a loving relationship with Jesus? Ready? Not by shoving the Bible down their throat, but by being kind. And watch what God can do. Amen? Man, so we got a donkey with a destiny. And we also got, listen, a donkey with a dilemma. Because let's say whatever you want to say about that donkey, he's willing, he's able, he's awesome. But you know what? He's also still bound. He's also still tied up. He got chains on his necks. He's locked up. He's bound. Matthew 21:3 says this, if anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This blesses my heart so much, this verse. You know why? I say why. Because I didn't know that God could use tied up people. I thought he could only use perfect people. I thought he could only use people who were not 30 days behind on their Bible reading plan. I thought that he could only use people who fasted and prayed 24/7. I thought he could only use people with theology degrees and Bible degrees. I thought he could only use people whose marriages are actually functioning. I thought he could only use people who don't wrestle with anxiety, who don't struggle with depression, who don't fear, who aren't worried. But when he chooses to use a tied up donkey, it shows me that God can use people with issues too. God can use people with struggles too. God can use people with going through things too. It ought to encourage you. And we shouldn't be surprised, because this is pretty much Jesus's MO throughout the entire scripture. We're the first evangelist ever in the Bible. This is a little Bible trivia for you. Not a disciple, not an apostle. It's a woman from Samaria who was a racial outcast, who, race aside, was already divorced 5 times. And she's working on number 6. And she brings her whole village, the Bible says, to Jesus. And she's going through it. Mary Magdalene, one of the most famous women in all of Scripture, not divorced 5 times. She had another issue. The Bible says she had 7 demons living inside of her. Pastor, I'm just wrestling with the devil right now. I don't know that God could really use me. I'm wrestling. The enemy's got a hold of me. He had a hold of Mary, too. And he still picked her. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Was a murderer. This is the greatest church planner of all time. Matthew, the very first gospel in your New Testament, he was a tax collector. This was an evil person at that time who stole money from people. God picked him. And probably the greatest evangelist in all the New Testament, Lazarus, Jesus's boy, who was dead for 4 days and got resurrected. You think you got issues? You dead? Are you dead? Okay, then. And still God picked him. In fact, why do you think there was a crowd greeting him on Palm Sunday anyway? Do you think it just spontaneously happened? You think this was some kind of Disney musical? Jesus shows up and everybody just pops out. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just dun, 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 dun. No. They were already there when he showed up. They didn't show up just because he was there. But the reason why they showed up, so good, you've never seen this in the Bible before. John 12:17-18, this is John's account of Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, the crowd that had been there with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead was there. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was because they heard that Jesus had done this sign with Lazarus. Did you know? They were there on Palm Sunday not just to see Jesus. They were there on Palm Sunday to see Lazarus too. Could you imagine the conversations that they had ready for Lazarus? Bro, can I talk to you real quick, bro? You were dead? Like, but be real, 100, like dead, dead? Yeah, man, I was dead. But like, you mean like dead tired, right? Like you were so tired, it felt like you were dead, and Jesus came and gave you some water and he healed you, and nah, man, like heart not beating, dead. Heart not beating for like a couple minutes, like in the movies, and the heart didn't resuscitate, and the like heart a couple, nah, bro, like 4 days, heart not beating. Why do I tell you this? Because the best way to tell people who Jesus is by telling people who you were. They came to hear a story of a man who had been dead and now is alive. Your story is the greatest tool for evangelism you have. You know why? Because people can debate facts. Well, I believe in Jesus because in 1700, they excavated a part of the cross, and that cross is believed to be around the same time. If you try and come at somebody with a set of facts, let me let you know something. They got a set of facts too. But you know what? Can't nobody debate? Why do you believe in Jesus? I was blind, and now I see. I was addicted, but now I'm free. Our divorce papers, we had them signed, but now we can't get enough of each other. My kids were locked up. They were not serving God, but now they all serving on teams at Journey Church, and they brought their wives and they brought their kids, and God, and the only thing that happened between that moment and that moment was this moment right here. Jesus, he changed my life. You can debate my argument, you can debate my facts, but you ain't got nothing from my testimony. I know what these scars represent. I know the wounds that I had. I know what I experienced, and Jesus saved my life. Is there anybody at church who can say that? He saved my life. Your story is so good, you ought to use it to encourage yourself. Huh? You ought to preach to yourself. Well, I can't remember that Bible verse in my time of need, but can you remember what you were like in 2020? Can you remember what you were like in high school? Can you remember what you were like before Jesus found you? What encourages me every time I get up here when I don't think that God's going to do it again, I think about last Sunday and the Sunday after that and the Sunday before that and the Sunday before that. I go, hey, man, if he did it before, he's going to do it again. Preach to yourself. I love the way David did it. He said, so why are you downcast? And then he'd go through the Bible and he'd be like, this is the same God that split the sea. This is the same God that resurrected people from the dead. You need to speak to yourself. Don't be discouraged. I know this trial is hard, but this is the same God that got you through your childhood, and the same God that got you through your high school, and the same God that got you through the divorce, and the same God that got you through being broke, living on the couch of your aunt's living room. This is the same God that got you through it. You gotta preach to yourself. Now, someone might say, well, what if I'm still going through it? Well, it's easy to preach when you've been through something. It's not as easy to preach when you're going through something. I don't know about you. I kind of get a little tired of hearing preachers. And they say, well, this was out 10 years ago. This was out 12 years ago. I'm like, well, that's cool. I guess I'll have something to thank God for when I'm 12 years free from it. But sometimes I need to hear from somebody who's going through it. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our... Now, I want to keep this on the screen so you don't miss it. Light shine out of darkness. What is the darkness? Made his light shine in our... So the darkness is our heart, and the light is Jesus. Jesus is saying there's no brighter place to shine than in a dark place. Do you know why God picked you? With all your issues and all your struggles and all your shortcomings? Because light shines brightest in the dark. Look, next verse. We have these treasures in jars of clay to show that this power is from God and not from us. When people understand who you are and then they see how God uses you, there's no way for them to reconcile how you could do that, because they know you and then it has to be God. Why do you think I preach the way that I preach? And I don't mean shout, run around, use illustrations. Why do you think I'm so vulnerable with you up here? Why I share with you the things that I go through, and I share with you the struggles that I have, and I share with you the way that I'm trying to be a dad, and sometimes it's hard, and I'm trying to be a mom, and I get worried about if we're going to be able to pay that bill or if we're going to be able to raise these kids. Why do you think I share that with you? And then I get into the lobby. I need to let you know this. I need to let you know this so that you can stop feeling like you have to encourage me in the lobby. Because I go to the lobby after preaching a message like this, and somebody put their hand on me and be like, "Pastor, I'm praying for you. It's so bad what you're going through right now. I'm so sorry for you." Listen, I love that. I love that. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for caring about me. Just don't let my weakness be misunderstood as worry. Because I'm not worried. And don't let my struggle be misunderstood as surrender. Because I showed up, didn't I? I preached, didn't I? I was up there praising, lifting up my hands, singing, jumping around, wasn't I? The reason why I'm so vulnerable with you is so that when you see me do these things and you know what I'm going through, is so that you could say, "Well, if God could do it in him, with all his issues." I didn't even know how he became a pastor. You know what he said last Sunday? That's wild. That he could do it in you. It has to be you so that people can look at you and say, "It has to be God." Amen? Last verse, Mark 11:2. Go into that village over there. Jesus told him, "As soon as you enter, you will see a young donkey." This is Mark's account, "that no one has ever ridden." Why is that detail important, that no one ever rode this donkey? Because most donkeys take up to a year of intense training to be able to be ridden. If you do not train a donkey to ride, it will not ride. And so this donkey, if you sit on a donkey with no training that has never been ridden, that donkey will not move. That donkey will buck you off. That donkey's gonna be like, "Yeah, and? Get off my back, bro. I don't know what this is. I don't get it." Yet when Jesus sat on the donkey that had never been ridden, the donkey said, "Where to?" Got it. Isn't that cool? So I wanted to preach this because I think that this is an important part of the kind of donkey that you are, that we are, that God's people are. But I almost didn't preach it because I couldn't get it to start with a D. When I preach, I like to, you know, kind of make it all start with the same letter. Not to be cute, but so that you can remember it when you go home. Because in the car, you're going to be driving with your wife and you're going to be like, "What was his 3 points? They all started with a D." That's why I do messages. I'm not trying to make them tweetable. I'm trying to make them memorable. But I couldn't get this one to start with a D. I was like, a donkey that's willing, a donkey that's available, a donkey that's submissive, that's not good. So this is the only thing I could come up with. And I'm just gonna warn you, it might be a little too hood for you. But it's all I could come up with, and that's a donkey that's down for whatever. Hey. I think God is just looking for people who are like, "What's up? You want me to go? I'll go. You want me to stay? I'll stay. You want me to speak up? I'll speak up. You want me to give? I'll give. You want me to start the business? I'll start the business. You want me to close the business? I'll close the business. You want me to be with them? I'll be with them. You don't want me to be with them? I won't be with them. You want me to go to El Salvador on a mission trip? I'll go. You want me to start a small group? I'll start a small group. You want me to get on a team? I'll get on a team. Hey, God, if you riding, I'm down for whatever, for whatever." We rented a donkey one time for a preaching at a youth convention. We were trying to raise money for missions, and so we were trying to buy donkeys for missionaries to go preach in their villages. So I thought, I'm gonna rent the donkey and show the people what they're buying. So we did that, and we got the donkey, and the donkey came, and thank you for reminding me. And the donkey came, and when the donkey was doing on stage, the donkey was nervous in front of the 3,000 people and just started pooping on stage. And I thought this was inappropriate. The kids are not gonna pay attention. So I told the guy, I was like, "Can you get this donkey out of here?" And the guy was like, "This donkey will leave when it's done." And I was like, "But we can't just allow this." So I grabbed the thing and I pulled the donkey, and the dude told me, he's like, and the donkey did not, that donkey was like, that donkey did not move. And here's what the guy told me. He said, "You cannot drag a donkey. Listen to me, God cannot drag you to your destiny. You have to do something. You have to be willing. I told y'all about that kind deed that my wife and I did. We want to make kindness really simple for you. We've got 4,000 of these cards here at Fern Park. And these cards say something extra to show God loves you. And on the back it says, and so do we. And then it has just our website on the back. This doesn't push Jesus down anybody's throat. It doesn't force the gospel on anyone. It's just, I want to be generous with you. So I want to do something nice for you. And the reason why I'm doing this nice thing is because that place, that person changed my life. And we want everyone, if you feel comfortable, we are limiting it to 5 per person, but I'd love for you to take it. How would you use it? Let's say you go out to eat after this and you tip. Well, listen, if you're going to be a generous tipper, then I want you to leave that generous tip, and then I want you to leave that card next to that generous tip so that they can know that the reason why you're being generous is because the Father was generous with you when he gave you his son, Jesus. And now listen, only do that if you tip good. If you tip 10%, I don't want them to know you come here. I'm not proud of you. 20, 20, 25% and up. If that's you, that's the card you take, and then you let them know, all right? You better represent Jesus. You go to a gas station. This is a fun thing to do. Go to a gas station, buy a $20 gift card. Get the $20 gift card. Tape it to the card. Well, Pastor, nobody carries tape. This is a spontaneous, you plan it. You get tape, go to a gas station, buy a $20 gift card. Tape this to where you put your credit card in with the little gas card. When the next time the person comes to pay for their gas, they'll be like, oh my gosh, somebody just, there's a lot of things you can do with it. 5 per person, but I love it. Listen, one of the kindest things you can do is invite somebody to church. We got a QR code that's coming on the bottom of the screen with a bunch of images and graphics that you can be able to download and put on your social feeds, and you can send to all your friends and you can tag them. And if you don't want to take a picture of the QR code on, that's fine. You don't have to. We're going to have all of these posts at the end of this service today. Will be on our Instagram, our TikTok, all of that. You can screenshot it and you can invite friends. It's one of the kindest things you can do. But here's what I really want to see. Listen, Matthew 21:10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, here's what I want to see. The whole city was stirred up and asked, who is this? Are you ready? Listen, this is my heart. Is this some kind of gimmick? Is this some kind of, I'll tell you what this is. This is a pastor and this church, listen, trying to stir up a city. I want to make such a noise over the next 7 days on social. I want to make such noise in your campus. I want to make such a noise wherever you live, online, so much noise that on Easter weekend, on 1792, here's what I envision. I don't know if this is good or not. The traffic being backed up so far that helicopters are flying over. Reporters are showing up. Who is this? And when they come, we'll be able to say, I'm just a donkey. But the one that I carry, he can change your life. He can change. I'm just a donkey. But the one that I carry can resurrect the dead. The one that I carry can heal a broken marriage. The one that I carry, he can end addiction. The one that I carry can heal anxiety. The one that I'm carrying can bless you financially. The one that I carry can make a woman who can't give birth give birth. The one that I carry, I've seen miracles. What he's done in my life, the one that I carry, he can change your life, the one that I carry. If you're willing to be used, would you open your hands up to God really quickly all over this room? Father, I thank you for every hand that's being lifted to you today. I don't just see this as a posture of worship. I see this as a posture of surrender. People who are saying, Lord, for some people, that looks like preaching and teaching. For other people, that looks like handing out cards. For other people, that's businessmen and businesswomen that are spreading the gospel through their generosity, through building up of their business and launching campuses and building orphanages through their income. For other people who don't have money, they have influence. They've got friends. They've got people in their life. They've got talents and skills. It's different for everybody, Lord. But everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got an ability. Everybody's got a destiny, a dilemma. The only question is everybody down? Are you down for whatever? I pray you use them in power and strength. Use them. Use him. Come on, not just say the Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Come on, let that be your prayer. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use my resources. Use my platform. Use my family. Use my kids. And I promise, when you use the things that God gives you for the building up of his kingdom, he will bless the things that you use. I'm a testimony of that. When you use the things that God gives you to build his kingdom, he will bless the things that you use. Use my business. Use it, Lord, to bring glory to you. Use my phone contact list. Use my TikTok account. Use it, Lord. Use it. If you're in the room today, listen, and you have a prayer that's not just use me, but take me, save me, Jesus. All over this room on the count of three, if you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to wait till Easter. Raise your right hand high. Jesus, I need you. All over this place, you're ready to make a commitment. You're ready to start fresh. This is your chance to start a relationship with Jesus. This is what we're asking. I want to start loving him today because I don't think I did up until this moment. God is ready to meet you and use you all over this place. On three. One, two. Let me see your right hand if that's you. You want to start a relationship with him. One, two, three, all over this building. Oh my gosh, so many hands. I love to see those hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Whether you raise your hand or not, I want everybody to pray this prayer out loud. Father, use me. Father, send me. Father, take me. I'm yours. Forgive me for my sins. I didn't make the best choices. But today, I make the best choice to give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, welcome all those people who just made a decision to follow Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message, and we would love to hear your story and how this ministry is changing your life. Please email us at amen@journeyorl.com. And if you would like to support financially, you can give online at journeyorl.com/give. If you're in the area, join us on Sunday for the full experience. Have a blessed week.